Thank you, Aaron. And thank you for all of you to be here today. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this morning. Thankful for all the blessings that we receive from Him, and including this nice time of the year that I said it once and I said it again, that's my favorite time. Nice cool weather. Truly enjoy it, see the new plants and new grass, seed coming up, is lonely, but for sure it will be nice and green soon. And those are the things that kind of brings me a little bit of joy as I plant grass seed and you see it grow. It's something that I cannot explain what it feels like, and it's just joyful to see those seed sprouts slowly, and well, that means that there's a good soil, that we still have good soil around here, what God has put in my heart there is some good scriptures in my sermon this today. And my carnal human feeling, thinking, I ask myself, is this what God put in my heart for sure? Or is it just me? Or is it just coming out of me? And I asked that question to myself, and I don't want to think that way. I'd like to think more than God has, that His Spirit is involved in this, and it's not just me, but in our days, people can think that. This way. People that don't read the Bible or the Holy Scriptures and not understanding that, you know, when we have a thought, a dream, or a feeling, something good or dangerous, if you don't have connection with God or acknowledge of His word, those things can happen in a way that is that is just supposed to happen. If you were sick, you got healed after being in the hospital for many days. It's just supposed to happen. It was the doctor acknowledged the medicine. But as a Christian, we don't think that way. We give thanks to God for simple way that we were able to wake up today and breathe. That's my prayer to Him every day, that I thank Him for being able to wake up and walk around and breathe the air of life that we have in this earth. But other people won't give Him the credit. Well, other people will not give Him the credit because they just wake up and do their own things, and they just, they don't, it's like God is not in their lives. And so when I'm trying to put a sermon together, it's God working in me, and I really truly hope so that He is, and that the scriptures that I have chosen, so it's not from me, but it's from Him. And so with that, I'm going to start with this picture that I was just navigating the website, the web, I guess, and I run into this, and I always have this, I like this frankincense the aroma of the frankincense, and I've been searching for a men's cologne, see they make a men's cologne with this aroma of frankincense, because I really love it. Not that it takes me back or remember when I was in the Catholic Church. You walk into those churches and that's what they smell like. And I think they, when you smell that, and I feel like in a moment of by yourself and you want to read the scriptures and you want to get close to God, if you have that smell around you, it kind of helps you to focus into what you're reading. It's like it kind of helps to bring that peace of time when you're like alone with God and reading the scriptures. And so I like that. And so I run into this photos, and that tree, if you can see the tree in the front and the two in the back, it says that they it grows pretty much wild, and who would have thought, you know, that tree is not the best looking tree. It looks almost like the palo berries that we have here in Arizona, almost other than the bloom white and yellow flowers. But that's the tree from where the frankincense comes. They were offered to Christ as a gift from the three Maggies, which is that's pretty cool. And that's the same stuff they Joseph, the one that claims Jesus' body, you know, used to embalm him when he was in the sepulchre. And so I was just amazed about what does it look like and how does it work. And according to what I have to understand, it's been the Egyptians have been like farming or cultivating like the tree for over 3,500 years. And so it's kind of, you know, that's some type of employer that the people keep busy with the, and you know, they sell it. They do so much thing with a tree, and that is the sap that comes from the tree. It's cut, it's like milky, and it's kind of, I don't know, cool looking, gross looking. I don't know, but it looks like tea drops. Looks like, and it's white, so that's how it comes out of the, I guess you peel out the bark and then they just start coming out, because it says that the bark is almost like paper feeling, so it's really sensitive tree. And it, of course it comes to be, you know, when it dries up. And so and how much value did this thing has is, I mean, it's, who would have thought that something that comes from the tree will be so useful, so valuable. You can use it as a aromatic to, like I said, for senses, and it can use as medicine too. You can use it as good for circulation, it's for calms your nerves. It's good for your skin, for bronchioles, for infections. You can use it for a lot of stuff. It doesn't say to grow hair, otherwise I would have used it better already. I'm getting thinner. That's the only thing that it's not good for, but it's so good for many, many, many things. And that's just comes from a simple tree that just grows in very hot parts of the Middle Eastern area. So it just grows wild, and who would have thought it has so much value? And so that brings me to my next slide here. Can you see what a thing is? And it's growing in my backyard right now. It's a melon. it's a melon. And, you know, for what I heard, melons, I mean, the seeds that you get from the vegetables or fruits that you get from the grocery store these days, they're like seeds that been created, or they only grow and they are they're not for you to use, you know, for you to plant. It's they're like laboratory seeds or whatever. I grabbed this pile because I like watermelon, melons, and all those things. And I grabbed this pile of seeds and I just went and dig a hole in my backyard and shoved them in there. I didn't even let them dry. And I just put them in there as I scoop it down from the out of the melon. And from my surprise, it's growing all over. So that's one, but it's like three right now. And I can't wait to enjoy them and see what the fruit tastes like out of this awful soil we have here in Arizona. Because we don't have the greatest soil, especially like in your backyard. I mean, you can hardly grow anything. You have to build above ground gardens, but this one is right in the ground. But that makes me think about it a little bit, because my house is built in top of this river bed, which is this Skunk Creek, I believe. The creek, it runs right through there. And when we built our house, it was nothing but rocks there. It was nothing but rocks. It was the river bed. So. So I don't know, maybe it's a good soil there. And that seed, it just grew up. But, you know, it makes me think about it. How is it that the word of God works? It's just like a seed. It's like a seed, right? It's told us it is a seed. We plant the seed, whatever word you use, in your conversation you're having with your friends, families, and, you know, people, maybe you don't know. Whatever words you use, and just you planting the seed in people's hearts without even notice. And so, you know, we don't have to convince them of the word of God. You know, that's the seed that we plant, and God will do the rest of it. And so, you know, I put the seed, not hoping that it was going to grow, but there it is. And now it's like a big bush growing on my wall. And I seeing this fruit coming out, it's really joyful. And so that's another thing that it brings you joy, to see these things. You know, the things that are going on right now around the world, like the war and Israel, we have no control over that. We have no control. Other than pray for them. Other than pray for them. That's all we can do. It's power in the prayer. We can pray for our brothers. But that doesn't mean that you need to stop having joy. Their life is going. Their life is still going. Especially if you have kids, you still have a lot of work to do. You still have a lot to fight for. We still have to go. You know, the things that are going on around the world, we have no control over. God has control over. All we have to do is to follow his commandments and keep him in our hearts and our minds, knowing that we're not alone. So he always provides for us. He always provides. So in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." As long as we keep Jesus Christ in our hearts, we have been provided one way or another. And the things that we're dealing with right now in this world, we just have to leave them in God's hands. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." You think that everything he did, what he went through and died on the cross, it was for nothing? It was for each of us. That we may be safe. He did it. He did it for you and I. He was a king. He was a mighty king. He had his throne, but for the love that he has for each of us, he became a sin. He became a human flesh and poor. because he was born in a stable. And but he did it for you and I, for me and you, that ye through his poverty you might be rich. We are so rich, brothers and sisters. You know, I don't consider myself poor. You know, even if I'm poor on items and all those things and things that you think that you may have everything and you don't need nothing else, things that this world provide for you and you're so okay. No, I don't think I will ever have enough. I come to the understanding that the more that I have, I want more. And Brother Gary can tell you that. I'm not happy with one bike, but I want another one. We're never happy. We're never happy. And that might be a human thing. A human thing that we just don't know it and we just have no control. But you always want something else. You want to have something better than what you had. Or you want to have something better that your neighbor has. But we are rich in Christ Jesus. We are rich. And he become poor that we may be rich. So this plan, this melon plan, it reminds me of those things that God always provides. A fall in a really good soil out of my whole yard that my dog has been around doing his things, I found a small spot that this seed, it grew, and now I see the results. So to me, it's just the way it works with God's word. We don't have to really do much, but when you have that opportunity to share, it's you planting the seed, and God will do the rest. He will do the rest. Other than we have an appointment, and so how are you going to be prepared for that day that comes? You know, it's all these problems going around us, people leaving us, and you know, passing and all those things, friends, families, church members. But you know, we have to be prepared for that day to come. In Hebrews 9:26-28, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once and in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear, the sins of many. He was, that's really important right there. He was offered as a sacrifice once, not twice, not many times, not a thousand times, just once. Because it's like, you know, you guys offering all these offerings, burning offerings, you know, in the old days, and you turn around and then you go back and do your own things again. So he had to do what he has to do. Now the choice is yours. We have the freedom of choice. That choice is yours to either to be with him or to be in hell. And so that is another controversy that we have to deal in this world. People, they're like, well, why can't I just be myself? I don't want to be with him. I don't want to be in hell either. But why can't I just be myself? You have to make a choice. He's giving you a choice because we're not here eternity. We're not here forever. Someday we're going to die and we're going to go either to heaven or either to hell. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he dare die and offer himself for you, you know what you have to do. And he did it for us, for the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and to salvation. We have an appointment. We don't have to do other than follow his commandments. He did it all. All he asked of you and I is to believe in him and to follow him. But the question is, are we ready for the time of that appointment when it comes? And this is what we get distracted. I am so distracted myself. I'm so distracted. I'm reading in the living room, and as I'm reading, at the end, I notice, I don't even know how, my eyes are on the TV. So I'm like, I can't go read and have the TV. And so I'm like a squirrel. I'm all over the place. So I have to be by myself for me to focus and study. But these things right here, it catch my eye. How did these people have peace in their life? These are the most rich people in the whole world. And of course, the first one that's taking lead is the guy who invented Tesla. And so I was reading about it a little bit, and I'm like, wow, I mean, did you really need all this? And, you know, when you read this, it takes you to the Bible when Christ is talking about the parables of the rich man, the one who had all the money. I hope and pray that their heart is not just in their money, but with God too. This guy, his net worth is $244.2 billion. He's only 51. He's from Texas. He's the most rich person in the whole world. He's a CEO in several companies, including electric and manufactured Tesla and space exploration company. He's owned a space company that takes you, it's a shuttle that goes to space, which is cost like a 60 something, either 1,000 or I think it's just 1,000 to get a trip, or million to go to the space station. I don't know which one, but then, he bought Twitter. Twitter is his too. He bought it for $44 million. Musk led Tesla to its initial public offering in 2010. The company experienced significant growth in the market capitalization during 2020 and 2021, propelling Musk the position of the world's top 10 richest people and the whole world. These are the things that can choke the seed that we sow. We are doing our thing, but then all this comes out, and I believe that's what it means when the seed gets choked by all these earthly things that you not can have or able to take or obtain salvation from it. You're not going to obtain anything. You're going to leave everything behind. Actually, there's a scripture that says the way we came to this world naked, we're going to go naked. And so that says it all. So we cannot focus ourselves and so much in those things. And 1 John 2:1-2, it says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if a man sin, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So you want to leave your life behind and come to Christ? Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter what sinful life you live or you're still living. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our lawyer. He is who you should trust that we be with his Father and his kingdom. He is our lawyer. He's our advocate. He's our he died for you. He died for you. So we are redeemed by him. We are redeemed by him. So all you have to do is make that choice. We are sinners no matter what. all we have to do is to trust in Jesus. He is our lawyer. Good works won't. Good works, good deeds will not take you to heaven. In Romans 3:10, it says that there is no righteous, none. So even if you think yourself that you are, we're not. We all sinners. In 3:9-63, and behold, ye are the children of the prophets, and ye are the house of Israel, and ye are the covenant which the Father made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed so greatly. We are rich so greatly. God hasn't forgive us. God hasn't say you are by yourself. He always provides for you. And so let's not forget that when we are going through a hard time, no matter what, we have to pray to Him and ask Him for directions. And if something happened that you lose your job, or that's the most horrible thing that happened to anyone, other than losing a member, it's not because it happened. Let's remember that there's always a time, and God always has the perfect time. And perhaps everything that's going on right now with this world is the perfect time, and that should make you think of a little bit that we are living in the last days. We should think about it more and get closer to God more. Get closer to God and not let these things to separate us from Him. We need to get closer to Him. This is our chance. 2 Nephi 3:13, it says, yes, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others they received great learning because of their riches. This is when, you know, many, many times God blessed the Nephites. After they went through worse and worse and worse. And then they were blessed. But when they were blessed, they will become riches. And then when they become riches, they start persecuting the poor. And so it happens over and over again. So we know that in the riches, there's no promise of salvation. God does not like that. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of evil, which while some coveted after it, and they have error from their faith. Once they become rich, they don't have need of God. They walk away. They walk away from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Jesus told us the rich man. He told the rich man, sell everything you have and follow me. And what did he do? He just walked away. Because what do you mean? What is that? We fight, we work, we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, almost asleep, like a zombie walking around, go to work every day. I never knew what bail means to me until I came to the United States. What a bail mean. And we are slaves to the bills. We don't work. We don't pay the bills. But it's something that we need to do. It's something that we need to do. But not to trust ourselves and with everything for what we earn. Because our reward is not here. Our reward is in heaven with Christ. Luke 12:6-21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this is what I do, and I will put down my barns and build greater, and there I bestow and my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine easy, eat and drink, and be merry. But God saying to him, thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who should those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. That parable, it speaks truly that we should not trust in the riches, because our life can be required anytime from God. And then everything stays behind. But the thing is that, you know, if you were trusting yourself and the riches and not in God, you're not going to end up in His kingdom. Just like Lazarus, you know, that's another scripture that really explains about it. We need to focus in Christ and not in the things of the world. And not, so we have to not lay our, up for ourselves the treasure on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart also will be. And Luke 12:24, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, neither for the body, what you should put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barns, and God feed them. How much more are you better than the false? God is always providing for you and I. You know, that's the thing, that when we are sitting down in the table, we have to give thanks to the Lord and thank you for providing it. Even if you work hard for what is in your table in front of you, God provided. So let's not forget to thank Him, because He is the one. You know, He just... one way or another, he doesn't put money in your table or in your pockets for something that is going to appear there. You have to work for it, you know. So we have to thank to Him for giving us the strength that we need. That we need to do this, the brains to do the things, and you know, the movements of our bodies, hands, fingers, feet. We have to thank to Him for all those things, because all of those are blessings. All of those are blessings. So He do a lot for us without even notice. But as church members of the Church of Christ, we know. We know that that He has provided for us even into now, because we are still here. Christ is our master, and we are His servants, not only working servants, but waiting servants. We must be as men that wait for the Lord, that sits up and while He stays out late to be ready to receive Him. And I remember my mom, when my dad would work, and he would work, go to work another towns, neighbor towns, and my mom will always follow him no matter where he will go to bring him lunch. That is that my mom was a true servant, and I think about that I should learn more about being a servant, just like my mom was to my dad. And she will bring, you know, this nice hot lunch meal for him, and follow him wherever he will go to work. That brings me to tears a lot. Remember those days, because I was my dad's helper. I will help him. I was always right next to him. When Jesus noticed these things in the temple, that he went and cleaned the temple, and Jesus went, Matthew 21:12-16, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold in the temple and overthrow the tables and the money changers and the seats of them, they sold doves and saying to them, it is written, my house should be called the house of prayer, but you have made it den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came into him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children cried into the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were displeased and saying to him, hearest thou this saying? And Jesus saying to them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfect praise. Out of the babies, there's no guile, there's true, and they speak the true. A lot of the times they speak the true and they get you in trouble. But my point here is that, you know, if Jesus would have cared about the money, he would have said something like, put all this money in my treasure instead of throw them all over the place. He doesn't care about the money. Not other than these people was not just doing the righteous or the right word. They were not truthful. They were stealing. They were selling sick animals. They were not giving the right change back or the tray money. They were not doing the right thing. That's another thing that he was not pleased with it. But he didn't care about the money or about the things that. Why? I mean, you know, they didn't know that he was going to be the last sacrifice. He said it many, many times, the Son of Man will be lifted up in the tree for your sins. But on the third day, he will resuscitate. They never get that. So, the other thing that says here is the... in Psalms 69, it says that because these things that he saw in the temple, it will really hurt him seeing this going on in his own house. Because we know that the church is supposed to be a church of prayer, the house of prayer, not the house of having fun and throw a party. And so a lot of these things happen in other churches, especially the one that I'm coming from. Everything is a sale. You have to pay for everything. Even if you want a blessing, you have to pay for it. He does not care about those things. He wants your heart. That's all he wants. He doesn't want your richness, your best dressing. He doesn't care about that. Matthew 4:8-10, it says, again, the devil take him up into the exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, all these things I will give you if thou fall down and worship me. All those things that were basically the whole world I will give you. I mean, this is created by him. It was trying to trick him, of course. He didn't need all that. So he gave us a pretty good example. I don't need any of this. You can keep it. They say, Jesus, to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou serve. Only God. There's no gods, only one God. We shall only worship him and not worship the things of this world, money and richness. In James 1:14, but every man is tempted. We all tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust. And entangled, then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. This is when we open the door to those things, especially to sin. Temptation takes over you. We should be aware of those things and not open the door to sin. And sin starts with righteousness. So the question is how we can obtain eternal life. In John 3:14-18, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have the Son of God in you, you should have the everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. He that believes in him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you believed in the Son of God? Have you believed in Jesus Christ that he is your Savior? Have you accepted him that he is your Savior? We still have a lot of us that haven't made that choice. And we are here to tell you and to step on your toes and tell you, let you know that you need to make that move, because we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days, and it was hard for me coming from other having other habits, other life, to come to be where I am right now. It was hard for me to put those things away. So I totally understand it takes time, but time we don't have much, and it's running out. That's just the whole truth. Only in God there's a fullness of joy. In Romans 15:13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy God. Only God, and only to him we will have joy and peace. We can change things in the world. We can be part of it and do something about it. Like I said, prayer, pray for them, help in any way we can. But really, God is in control. He has all the control of what's going on in this world. And one way or another, we can say, somebody said, you know, one way or another, God will win anyway. When things get worse, he will show up and stop all this, what's going on in this world. We don't need to worry about the things of this world. He is in control. And like I said, it's always a perfect time when he will show. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in stir and prayer. In tribulation, don't lose that hope. Even if you're going through a hard time, we have to keep the hope and the joy. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, in Proverbs 3:5, my brother Gary reads this verse here always. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Trust in God. That's the key word. We have to trust in God always, always. Moroni 3:33, and if it so be that you believe in Christ and are baptized first with water, then with the fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the samples of our Savior according to that which he had commanded us. The examples, the of Savior, you remember the John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. That is a symbol that we had to, that's a symbol he lived for us to follow and do. And a lot of people these days don't follow up. They don't think that it's needed. You just have to say the salvation, the prayer of salvation, which you find in your Bible, in the back of your Bible, and you'll be saved. And that is not true. We have to be baptized as Jesus Christ was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't have no sin. Of what sin? He was perfect. He was righteous. But he put an example for you and I that we should follow and do. We continue on Moroni 3:29-30. It says, and he had brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he he that is found guilty before him at the judgment day had it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God and his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the chorus above, into the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, which is one God, and the state of happiness which hath no end. We will be happy for eternity with them. Don't you want that? Won't you like that? I mean, instead of suffering, happiness which hath no end. This will be forever and ever. Therefore, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall set you before you, not only in this record, but also in the record. That means not only in this Book of Mormon, but also in the Bible, which shall come into the Gentiles from the Jews, which records shall come from the Gentiles to you and I. It's all right there in the two books. You should be baptized. You should be repent and come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's all he's asking. You know, changing the news, from Israel, what was going on over there. This morning, breaking news. The D-backs has won. We're doing good, right? Breaking news. Not Israel breaking news, it's, you know, D-backs. What is it called? The World, Serious World, something like that? Yeah. So now I went and dig out my hat from all my old clothes and found my D-backs hat, so I'm wearing it. But if they lose, I'm going to put it away again. Another breaking news. Matthew Perry from the Friends show. Have you guys seen the Friends show? He passed away today. They find him dead. And his pool, or what was it? Hot tub, yeah. So that's another breaking news. Never mind what's going on in Israel. Now Israel is in the third level, whatever. This is first now. This is how the world is these days. So why are we going to not have joy and enjoy what we have around? Like my grandchildren, you guys, and all of you who surround me, this is where my joy is. And of course, our prayers will go towards all those who are suffering right now and dealing with this war. But let's just think about that God is in control, and he will do what he has to do at the right time. And so we just had to trust in him and leave everything in his hands. Those are my comments for today. I thank you for being here and being part of this sermon this morning.